I'm here in the offices of Dr. Pinneger.
Yep.
We for just, Betty Orthopedic Offices. What a great place you have here.
Right? We just MRI'd your whole body. We just radiated you.
What is wrong with you?
You're going to leave glowing.
Everything is wrong with me, luckily.
There was a lot.
There is a lot of Golden Knights shit around this place.
Better believe it.
I like it.
We got the carvings on the wall.
Well, we have to have Eric's carvings.
Exactly.
Can't go without Eric's carvings. But yes, I was walking around and there's Golden Knights stuff everywhere. It's fantastic.
Better believe it.
I love it.
We're committed.
I love it. So let's dive straight into the injuries. Obviously, the big one. The reason why you weren't on for a little while was because we had a nice little run of not too many injuries.
Yeah.
And then Mark Stone got hurt.
Oh, man.
And when Mark Stone gets hurt, that's basically like, well, we better talk to Dr. Pinneger every single 5 minutes because we need to know what the hell's going on here. So there were two situations that we feel like could have been the moment where Mark Stone got hurt. The first one was the end of the second period. And again, both of these are on our Twitter or on the injury page on the site. So if you go back, you can look at that. The first one happened at the end of the second period. He's skating towards the center line. He dumps the puck in and then he pulls up, skates directly off and goes straight down the bench. The second one happens in nearly the exact same spot. Behind him, Ethan Bear hits him, knocks him down. That one didn't seem terribly bad. Yeah. He ended up staying on the bench. He came out and celebrated with the team after they won the game. Which one of the two, based on now what we know, which is week-to-week injury, which one of the two would you lean towards? You think that's where the actual injury occurred?
I think the second period's our higher hitter there. Granted, we don't see a lot, which we'll talk about later. He gets hit right behind the board. We got zero other images of this thing, but down he goes, and that was not a severe-looking fall. And they take shots way harder than that every couple of minutes on the ice. So, but I think when you're describing and when we look at the video, how he pulls up, that's the scenario where a guy tweaks a hamstring or where a guy sprains his MCL a little bit or where a guy pulls his adductor, and those are all muscles that attach the leg toward the hip and pelvis, and is, you know,
hockey injuries.
Exactly. Yeah. All those around the hip and knee, and that's exactly what, when he pulls up and skates to the ice, you know, you try to walk something like that off, which sounds like exactly what he tried to do.
And he seemed to know immediately that something had gone wrong. He throws his head back, and now Jason and I get in these arguments a lot because we watch Mark Stone as much as any other player, and let's be honest, he's bad at skating. Like, not as bad as me, but bad. And he skates weird. So we've thought he's been hurt many different times over the course of the time. However, this one was pretty clear. He throws his head back. He stands straight up. And then he skates directly off. We don't have the video of him skating directly off. I remember watching him go straight down the bench thinking he's definitely hurt.
Yeah.
Then he goes in, comes back out to start the third period and plays seemingly normal shifts over that third period. Then we get the news the next day. He's not at practice. He's not at practice the following day. And now he's out week to week. What happened in the intermission that led for him to think, I'm hurt, but then, and now they're coming to pick him up in the sirens.
Yeah, outside. Right? Can you hear that? Oh, Mark Stone, wait.
So, like, what could have happened in the intermission that led him to think, I'm okay to go play this third period, when really we now find out he might be out for a month.
Yeah. Now, I mean, it all sure certainly fits a strain or a sprain, right? I mean, with any of those injuries, hey, look, it's not broken. Can you play? Do you have your strength? Do you have your stability? Can you stand up?
And
can
in the moment, push? He does.
Oh, yeah. For that moment.
Is an adrenaline thing?
A little bit, yeah. A little bit of adrenaline thing. And it's also a little bit of, okay, there's an injury, but are you going to be able to play through this or not? Because a lot of strains and sprains, they're mild enough. You tape them up, you ice them down, you stretch them out, you give them some massage, and maybe even they get a little local anesthetic injection back in the office. Like, so they come in with a Toradol shot, they get something, and out they go. And that
can happen in the 12 minutes, right? Oh, yeah.
That can all happen
just
super fast.
Pop the shot in, and you're out there.
Yeah, and off they go.
Interesting.
This is very distracting.
It's actually the perfect background. Right? It's just we have to.
We're here at the hospital. We're here talking.
And when I'm listening to a podcast and I hear it, because then I pull to the side when I'm in my car. It's like, oh, don't do that, people. It's on the podcast. But the thing for me is, especially in the regular season. Now, granted, that was a game against Edmonton. It was a fairly close game. So I understand there's some significance there. However, in a regular season game, in a moment like that, with a player like him, my thought is always caution first. Mm-hmm. And they did not go down the caution first road. They chucked him right back out there. He literally did not miss a shift. Is that misdiagnosis in that moment? Or is that him not being as upfront in the moment? Or how does that happen? How do you have a guy who ends up missing a month or however long it's going to be go back and play a third period?
It's often, I mean, obviously a player doesn't get an MRI during that break. They may, right. In certain situations, they might get an x-ray right away, but otherwise they're getting evaluated, and a lot of players are going to be, it'll be okay.
I'm good.
Yeah, I got this. I can play through it. All right. And then they try it, and then they're like, nope, not playing through it.
Well, he
and
then, did, but then they try the for a bit, day, and obviously. Then,
yeah. And so they'll, and at that point, by then maybe he does get the MRI, gets a little x-ray imaging studies. He has a chance for swelling to maybe worsen. And then he says, yeah, this is a little worse than I thought.
This is not good.
And they then evaluate. They say, okay, like, worse bad enough that we limit your shifts, or worse bad enough that we're better to just hold you out for a short time. So it tells you that it's more severe than, like, a mild strain, but not so severe that he's jumping to get surgery.
So that was where I was going next. That was actually something that, and again, we work on very, very limited information right. in this sport, which is why you're very helpful in these. One of the things they said was no surgery. There's mm-hmm. no surgery. So what does that rule out?
Like, so it rules out full thickness tears of pretty much anything. So say we go down the hamstring pathway or the adductor, which is one of your kind of that's the pelvis machine. You see people in the right. gym where they're squeezing their inner thighs together. That's the adductor.
Everybody loves that.
That's
machine.
A good one, right?
Women love that machine yeah. specifically. Men love. Never mind.
Right. I knew where you're going yeah. with that one. So that, I mean, that muscle too can be sprained or strained, and unless it gets fully torn, surgery's not even in the question mark. So like you're that's it's not even an option. So
and that would be thing. Even if the playoffs are not coming up.
Oh yeah.
That's
yeah.
just no.
Partial tears, strains, no surgery.
Okay.
You got to have something pulled off completely before you're talking about reattaching.
Because that was my fear when I heard no surgery. My first thought is playoffs are a month and a half away.
Mm-hmm.
No surgery, ... now.
Does it mean, yeah.
Like, that's my fear is that when he comes back, he's not Mark Stone. He's pulled hamstring Mark Stone, pulled
gotcha.
Adductor Mark yeah. Stone. Like, that's what where my mind first went. But you're saying even if this were to have happened in the middle of the summer, that if it's a partial, they're not going to put him in surgery.
Exactly. Exactly, yeah. Full tears might need repairs depending on where they tear. But otherwise, the conservative treatments, they're doing therapy, they're icing it down, they're stretching, they're using all the miraculous training room features that they've got, yeah. and that's the solution.
So hopefully, when he comes back, the thought is they've gotten him to a point where he should be okay. Now, let's yeah. say time isn't on their side.
Mm.
Let's say it were to have been an 8-week injury and they push it up to 6 because April 6th, April 7th, whatever it is, we got a game that you got to win.
Mm-hmm.
What's the possibility of it getting way worse and it deteriorating through the course of the playoffs? So if it's not fully healed.
Exactly. And that's the most common cause of hamstring injuries is a similar injury in the same season. So you are a little more prone to it. So say that's say it's hamstring, say it's adductor, say it's even an MCL sprain. If you've sprained it that season and you're coming back, it's healed, it's strong, you feel good, it's a little weaker for that period of time.
That's concerning.
It is.
That's certainly concerning.
Yeah, it worries you.
Well, we'll try to leave you on that, people, for the yeah. that makes
stew
me,
that one
does
over.
Not make me feel good because obviously we all know.
I have a tissue. Do you want?
No,
are,
yes,
are you
I could use a whole box. No, Mark Stone probably means no etching the names of the Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup. Like, let's just be honest.
He's got to be there.
He's got to be there.
He's so good.
He's that good.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's move on to Tuck. So Tuck's injury looked horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
He pulled that knee back, hit the boards, moving a million miles.
Turned
an
out
hour.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
I don't know the exacts of what it is. With it not being what it could have been, what would you lead to you, what do you think it probably is, looking at Eprobi's out for a month?
Yeah, as I looked at that, I mean, I thought, wow, his leg didn't twist or bend. We had some pretty good views on that one. Yeah. That was great.
Thank goodness.
Who sent us that video? That was fantastic.
Nice of it to happen behind the goal instead of in the side. Yeah.
Right. So with the with those, it really looked like it got wrenched back, impacted. Everything pointed to potentially an impact, to a bruise, to a contusion, to a, you know, and sometimes those are way severe, but from the way it looked, you know, he marched off the ice without a lot of pressure on it, and you thought, ah, shoot.
Not good, yeah.
But I didn't leave that video thinking, man, he probably tore a ligament or something. So,
kind of like we did on the glass one.
Yeah, that one really looked ligamentous to me, but as he left, I thought, hey, hopefully this is something that he's back quicker from.
And it turns out that does appear to be the case. The rules, the way the rules are written, he had to go on LTIR for them to complete the Alec Martinez trade. They then had room when they made the Eakin trade, but they had to already put him on. So the second they made the Martinez trade, he goes on LTIR, which rules him out for 10 games and 24 days. It's a little bit confusing whether that means the game was included or the day was included or how it goes. Let's put it this way. He's either back March 8th, 9th, or the following game. That's basically the time frame we're in. Today is the 4th when we're recording this. I would guess he's probably back, with it being what you think it's going to be. He's been walking around. He opened a restaurant. He's been all over the place.
Yeah, he's not slowing
down.
That
seems to be not one that should be a huge problem, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, moving forward, he should be good.
He should.
All right, there's one other guy that I kind of want to touch on, and that is Cody Glass. Obviously, we had the injury earlier this season. He fights his way back, gets himself back into the AHL, plays one game down in the AHL, has a diving goal over the goalie, which looked awesome. The very next game, he's playing wing, and he gets hurt again, seemingly the same knee. We don't have a lot of information on it. We don't really even have the video on it, so I don't want to get into too deep on what it is. Where I want to go with Cody Glass is, and unfortunately his name is Glass.
Right.
What are your thoughts on injury prone? How injury prone can a person be? Can a player be? How do you view that? Can you label somebody injury prone?
It depends on mechanisms. So the way we look at that in our field, and when we're evaluating a player, so say I've read a lot of reports about Tua, the football player from Alabama. He's had multiple season disturbing injuries in a row, but they report back and they say, look, this is not a injury prone or a fragile player. They say, even though these have been devastating injuries back to back to back, they consider him to be, they consider these to be random impact cause. So okay. So they're not labeling him going into some of this as, hey, watch out for that guy, he's a potential disaster.
But isn't that's everybody, you know? Like the
exactly.
That would be most players. Like, this was random, that's crazy. This was random, that's crazy. I can't believe it happened to the same guy. But at the same time, we also have to take a step back and say, okay, but you've played 40 games and been injured 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at some point, can you get to the point where you're able to call somebody injury prone?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the reason to look at that is, How do these happen? Is it while he's skating, his skate catches? Like, is it a skate mechanics problem?
Yeah.
That can be, oh yeah, he's injury prone because he skates poorly. Or is it, man, he's had multiple injuries because people are targeting him, you know?
So, lighting
so,
him up, yeah.
Exactly. So there's, before you call someone injury prone, you just look at how do these happen? Now, the fact that, you know, when we first looked at the video of his knee, it looked awful.
Yeah.
I thought, there's no chance that kid didn't tear his ACL. Just not a chance. Yeah. And he didn't.
Luckily.
So it was a bruise. I'm sure he had a ligament sprain. You just can't make your
certainly
knee
bad,
do that way.
Yeah.
But he got back. And like you said, though, a couple games later, seemingly maybe same mechanism, and back he is. And is that
and he had one in junior, too.
Yeah, exactly. Other knee, right?
Yeah.
So is that he has a poor mechanic or his knee alignment? I mean, that could mean that he's a little injury prone there.
So with him and with his future, is there something you can do to change that problem? Or is that something you just have to kind of put your hands together and look up to the hockey gods and say, not Cody Glass this time?
I think a little bit of maybe the latter.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can brace that guy, put a brace on him so that he doesn't twist his knee just right, and if you can work on his strength around the knee to, in the offseason, really aggressively tackle where his mechanics might be weak, then you can change that type of thing.
And strengthen the skating.
Exactly.
That's a scary thought, especially with it being the sixth overall pick, with obviously the resources they've put into that player and where they wanted him to be at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate that he has been injured. I personally am not ready to go down that road. I would just admit it. I hate injury prone. I hate the term injury prone, just because I don't think it's fair.
I agree.
And for the most part, it just seems that certain guys just aren't all that lucky, and I don't think it's necessarily that their body is weak or they have low pain tolerance or something of that sort.
Yeah.
There's one other guy that I want to touch on, and I wonder when you watch him, because it seems to happen constantly. Tomáš Nošík gets lit up more than any other player on the Golden Knights, like everybody else combined. I feel like it's because he's tall, he stands fairly upright, and he skates a little higher, so he's a big target, and that's why he gets lit up. When you watch him play, how often do you find yourself thinking, ooh, man, I'm not happy I'm not Tomáš Nošík right now?
I'm happy that impale to the chest wasn't me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he takes a beating. He really does. And, you know, he's not a guy I look at and think, oh, well, he kind of might have deserved that one.
No.
He was really dishing it out.
No.
You're right. He just gets hit.
Yeah. He's just that guy. Like, and I know that he does play with Carrier and Reeves, so you're going to get a little bit of that where it's like, oh, I could hit that guy, or I could hit this guy, or I could just hit this tall, skinny dude over here and just light him up into the boards. Right. I'll go ahead and do that. It's been an interesting season. One of the things that I think we're going to have to keep an eye on moving forward, and I'm certainly not blaming this at this moment on DeBoer, but one of the things he said when he came in immediately was he challenged his team, we need to block more shots. We're 30th in the league in block shots. We need to block more shots. They instantly went out and traded for a guy that blocked shots. They brought in Cousins. He's a shot blocking forward. Obviously, Stone is that type of guy, and we have been without him. Through the playoffs, how much does shot blocking scare you as a doctor?
Oh, big time. I mean, that pass when it comes, they pass from one corner to the next, and that slap shot,
point
and
point,
someone
yep.
dives across, yep. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yep.
Granted, most of their faces aren't covered, so I sure worry about their faces.
Yeah.
They're not always diving head first at it, but they sometimes do.
It's close, yeah.
But, I mean, even you watch that slap shot, and those pads, they got to help a little, but I mean, I've seen people take a puck to the skate and it fractures a bone in their foot through a skate.
It's a frozen piece of rubber.
Like, yeah.
And they're going at 100 miles an hour.
It is just brutal. So shot blocking, I mean, it's got to happen if you want to win. But, man, that is dangerous. I mean, so not to bring this up. Well, I'll bring it up anyway since I started. So when I was in college, we had some lectures. I did my degree in athletic training. And so we would cover events.
Sure.
I mean, just like the athletic trainer you run into at the Knights game. And we had a hockey player at our school take a puck right under the pad of the chest.
Oof.
Stopped his heart. He died on the ice.
Oh my gosh.
And so, like, they, you know, they had CPR right there. They carted him off.
Wow.
So they had, I mean, all of us are in shock.
Yeah.
And they had lecturers come talk to us. They're like, look, this is freak accident. But stopping a puck with your body, if it's in the wrong spot, that's a bad news deal. But so, you know, God forbid that doesn't happen. But
because luckily, throughout the 2 years for the Golden Knights, the first season, they were fairly healthy. Like, they really didn't have much that went wrong throughout that first season. Like, Perron was injured a little bit, caught the flu in Winnipeg. They didn't really have a lot that got in the way. Last year, almost nothing got in the way. They lost Belmar at the end of that series. This year, again, I'm not blaming it on DeBoer at the moment, but since DeBoer's been here, Carlson was injured right away. That was before DeBoer, but you've had Tuck, you've had Glass not playing in the same system, but whatever, you've had now Whitecloud had one go off of his wrist yesterday, and we don't know any information on that. We don't even know if that's anything at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Stone with the injury he's had. There have been some injuries, and I wonder if this commitment to shot blocking
has something to do with it. Or,
and last year's Sharks team, it was a morgue by the time we got to that period.
They were a little
struggling. They were in the Western Conference Finals. Like, they didn't have anybody left. And that concerns me a bit, understanding especially all the resources the Golden Knights have put into this season. They've traded all these picks. They put themselves in a position where they brought on a rental goalie, potentially. There's a lot to consider there that certainly scares me with the shot blocking. And again, yesterday I saw it. Zach Whiteclaw sticks his wrist out, blocks a shot. Shot goes back out. He steps right back into another one and takes one right in the stomach. Like, that's the kind of thing that I think with Gallant, they might have said, let the goalie stop it. From a shot from there, let the goalie stop it. He'll stop it. And let's be honest, Leonard would have stopped those last night. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to keep an eye on that. And luckily, I'm sure we'll talk to you through the playoffs.
Yeah. So, as you're the farther into the season, those nagging little chronic strains are starting to...
I wanted to talk about Carlson's finger. I forgot about Carlson's finger. So he got slashed across the finger. He was out for, it was like 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He then came back in and said he didn't have full feeling and he couldn't fully grip his stick. How long should that take?
So if fingers stay swollen after a finger gets broken, the joint above or below can be swollen for months.
Ugh.
So for it to fully get back, I mean, an athlete like him has resources where he's doing therapy probably daily. So that gets quicker, but you're still a while before that finger moves and feels great again. It can be kind of slow.
Well, hopefully that gets better. Obviously, we've seen more goals out of him recently.
Oh,
so
man, yeah.
Certainly he looks better, but again... These nagging injuries, these are the types of things that with the way the Golden Knights roster is set up, the depth is short. You see what happens when they lose Tuck, when they lose Stone, when they don't have Carlson. They're putting in Brandon Peary, Patrick Brown, Zekoff, Quinney. They're not scorers. And I know they all score in their first game, relax. But they're not scorers. And therefore, this team has to be healthy to make a good run in the playoffs. And hopefully, they're able to do that. We need to get to your... The segment that is named after you.
Let's do this.
It's time to get salty.
Oh my gosh.
Salt and Pinniger. What are you salty over right now?
I mean, how many people follow this cast? I mean, do none of you guys take a video of these? I mean, when I just can't see through the board, and I know somebody's filming this thing. I know one of you has a picture or a video of the injury. Like,
so you're salty at the fans. For not having
all y'all are in trouble.
Video of Tuck getting injured.
Where is our team? This is a community here.
We need all of you at all times, no matter where you're sitting, to be filming the game in its entirety.
Right.
And then clip it and send us the
injury. Exactly. Yeah. We should have, I made the comment about how every casino's got a camera every 8 feet. They there's not a fart that gets missed,
right?
I mean, they see it all.
Well, hopefully they miss some when I'm there.
Yeah, you hope so, especially depending on what you ate.
But I will say, as you can blame it on the fans, I will blame it slightly on AT&T Sports.
Right, I mean...
It does surprise me how often we have injuries that it's one view.
Yeah.
Or it's just the main view, and like in the Stone case, there was no reference to it even happening, and I'm sure that is some sort of organizational policy that hopefully is changing. I think DeBoer's been better than Gallant was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where that directive came from. Maybe we were giving Gallant too much credit before, but I don't know. But I do think that there's something to be said about there are other angles.
Oh, yeah, there are. And I know in a game, like, if there's not a pause, they're not going to go back and be like, hey, let's go back and he skated off the ice funny. They're not going to show you three views on any big hit
They should.
They ought to. You know, if they see, hey, why'd he come off? Here's what we saw a couple last period. Maybe this has something to do with it. You'd love it if we got a little picture. But man, I'm useless behind the board.
So you're just yelling at the fans. I like that plan.
Fans, come on, you guys. What are we doing?
It's all their fault. If any of these fans watch this transition, if any of these fans are instead not filming because they actually are injured, how would they get to this office and see you? See what I did there?
Right?
That was like...
That was money.
3.5 years of training.
That was good, right? Come on. I do love it. When a person comes in, they bring in a video. They're like, look, this is what I did to myself. I'm like, all right, there we go. Because otherwise, my leg went this way, I went this way, it hurts over here.
So like UFC fighters, you're like, oh, that's nice. We have 7 camera angles of your leg breaking in half. Yeah.
It's way easier that way.
So just give them the rundown of the type of injuries you guys are able to fix and deal with and make people feel better.
All right. So my specialty is sports medicine, shoulder, elbow, knee. If you got an ailment in one of those areas, we've got great resources here. Like I said, we just MRI'd Ken from top to bottom. I'll post pictures of that on the internet later. And happy to have a look at that. I mean, our goal, of course, is to keep you playing your game. We don't want to. I don't pride myself on saying, hey, let's give everybody that walks in the door surgery. We got options there, and so get in. Let's take a look.
Make sure that whatever's ailing you, stop sitting there thinking this hurts and I don't want to deal with it anymore. Actually, come down here and get it fixed.
I can't lift my arm, but I'm going to wait 7 years to take a look.
Yeah.
You know, that's a tough one. If your rotator cuff's a little torn today, and if you want to wait 8 years to have a look, I'll show you a great picture of what it's going to look like in 8 years, and it's a mess.
Not good. No. What's the website they can go to?
GravettiOrtho.com, my Twitter handle, VegasSportsDoc.com. You can get to my page on our website through that same, but come down here. We're in Henderson. We'd be happy to take care of you.
Awesome. And as, of course, for the rest of the season, VegasSportsDoc on Twitter, we'll be all over that, making sure anytime there's any injury, immediately we've got the diagnosis.
You better believe
directly it. Directly through the boards. And please send us your videos. Thanks again for doing this. I appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you.